Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you that you do give us the opportunity to be in your presence. And Father, I thank you that there are many people that like to come and fill these seats, but the government is saying no. The president isn't, but the government is. And so, Father God, I'm asking you right now to perform your miracle that you promised us you were going to perform. And Father God, open the states wide open so we can once again live and thrive. And Father, I thank you for the ones who come out, these 10 who come out every faithfully every service and have to put up with me. I thank you for them, Father, and I'm asking you to give them a special blessing tonight, a blessing that they really cannot contain. And Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, and your angelic host. In Jesus' name, Father, we just bring this service before you. This is your church. This is your service. And Father God, you have your total and complete way and will. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. There's something really going on in the atmosphere, and I don't know what it is, but there's something going on, and we really need to have our ears totally and completely in tune to the Father so we know constantly what is going on. And when we don't know what it is right away, then we need to keep our ears open so that God can speak the truth to us. Tonight, God wants to talk about your destinies. Some of you are playing around with your destiny, and you're going to find out you're going to be, like God said, the church is like Samson. The church has been doing their thing, and they keep shaking their head, you know, getting up and saying, oh, Father, forgive me. And he has, but the church is going to be like Samson. You're going to get up and say, well, Father, forgive me, and he's not going to do that. Isn't that what happened with Samson? He shook his head, and he had no power. Why? Because his hair was cut off. And God told me the church is just exactly like Samson right now. So please don't you be another Samson. Don't you be playing games with God. And then finally one day whenever you get up and shake yourself and say, I repent, which you don't really mean. Or you want to keep doing the same things over and over again. And then God just isn't there. Because God does withdraw his hand. Believe it or not, he really does. He gets tired of your game plan. And right now, God is very, very serious with everything he's doing. I had already typed this all up, but yesterday, the last night as I was doing something around the house, God said, you are as one crying in the wilderness. And so I looked up the scripture, so I thought we'd start out with that scripture. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This is what we are. We are a voice right now crying in the wilderness because the church doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear repent. They really don't. God, in that scripture says in verse 4, every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we are the voice in the wilderness crying out, prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody says, this is what we are doing. All right? And verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. We're our voices are out there crying, repent, repent, repent. And when we first started crying, repent, there was a lot of pastors out there saying that God is not calling the church to repent. And now if you're reading anything at all, just skimming over them like I do, I don't really read them, but I just look at the titles, they're all saying that God is calling America to repent. But when we first started, they were putting us down saying, God is not doing that, and you need to quit saying that. You hear this. Now, you are a part of a forerunner church. The forerunner church will be saying things that the other churches aren't saying. And just like I told you before, I said, God, the other churches have caught up with us now. They're now saying repent. And I told you this the other day. I said, so we need to move on. And our moving on is into signs, wonders, and miracles. And this is where God is moving us into. And this is why he's been having me teach you these things that I'm teaching you. Because if you're not here in these things he's teaching, then he can't use you as part of that remnant church. That forerunner church is calling the people to go higher in God. Now, decrees are also falling from heaven right now. Now, listen to this. When Adam sinned, He tried to hide from God. Remember my little peanut? I try to hide from God. When Peter denied Christ, he was afraid to face him. When Jonah refused to preach to Nineveh, his fear drove him into the ocean to flee the presence of the Lord. Now, put yourself in these situations. Something much worse than failure is the fear that goes with it. You failing to heed or obey God's voice is nothing compared to the fear that you feel because you did not obey God's voice. All right. Adam, Jonah, and Peter ran away from God not because they lost their love for him, but because they were afraid he was too angry with them to understand them. Adam, Jonah, and Peter ran away from God not because they lost their love for him, but because they were afraid he was too angry with them to understand. The accuser of the brethren waits like a vulture for you to fail in some way. Then he uses every lie in his kingdom to make you give up, to convince you that God is too holy or you are too sinful to come back. All right? And you know that goes on in your life. Or he makes you afraid you are not perfect enough or that you will never rise above your failure. Now, I want you to get this in your spirit because I know this is going on. And it's running. I'm hearing God say it's running rampant throughout the body of Christ. These things we just spoke about. Now, it took 40 years to get the fear out of Moses and to make him usable in God's program. Remember, Moses murdered somebody and he ran into the desert. So it took 40 years to get the fear out of Moses and to make him usable in God's program. If Moses or Jacob or David had resigned themselves to failure, we might never again have heard of these men. Yet Moses rose up again to become one of the greatest, God's greatest heroes after 40 years. Jacob faced his sins, was reunited with a brother he had cheated, and reached new heights of victory. David ran into the house of God, found forgiveness and peace, and returned to his finest hour. Are you picking this up? Jonah retraced his steps, did what he had refused to do at first, and brought a whole city to repentance. Of course, we know what happened with Jonah from the time he ran until the time he decided to retrace, all right? Peter rose out of the ashes of denial to lead a church to Pentecost. Think about these things. Peter rose out of the ashes of denial to lead a church to Pentecost. Today, God wants us to face our failures and go on to his next step for us. So tonight, I'm really encouraging each one of you, you're sitting here, you know what your failures are. Face those failures and allow God to free you from that and go on to the next step he has for you. Now, Bob Jones said he was in heaven and saw that books were being reconciled regarding people's destinies. And Larry Randolph said that he saw the court of heaven in session, and there are things about our future that have not been determined as of yet. And he said that in 2010, and Bob Jones had his vision in 2008. All right. Larry Randolph said that he saw the court of heaven in session, and there are things about our future that have not been determined as of yet. This explains why so many people feel frustrated and uncertain right now. Because right now, in 2020, there are things about your destiny that have not been determined as of yet. Some of you are being tested and tried to see exactly where you can fit into God's plans. And some of you are failing your tests. And that's why you feel uncertain as to what God is doing with you. Now, in my own life, I know the direction that God wants me to go, you know, into signs, wonders, and miracles right now. But the specific steps for this new season have not been clarified. He's not yet told me each step that he's going to do. He just told me what the next step of this church is going to step into. Now, we are in a time of transition in which the way we used to do things is not working as effectively as it once did. And you new guys, you're going to find out that what you did even yesterday is not going to work tomorrow. Yeah, because God is constantly, this is what I'm hearing, he's constantly transitioning us into new things in his kingdom. And see, we felt comfortable with what we did yesterday, and it was good and nice. And now here comes tomorrow, and everything seems all befuddled. And you want to go back to yesterday, but God took you through yesterday. Now you're in a new day, and he's doing a new thing in you, teaching you new ways. Now, we are living in a paradox of the old not working and the new having not yet been fully revealed. This is where this church has been now for a couple years. We are living in a paradox of the old not working and the new having not yet been fully revealed. Understanding God's will for our lives is sometimes easier than knowing his timing. All right. Understanding God's will for our lives is sometimes easier than knowing his timing. The most common way that God reveals his will is through his written word. You know, and you newer people that have come in the last 2-3 years, you know, you are the millennial. You are the young people that God is going to work through. But you just can't jump in there and be king. All right, you have to go through the transitions. You have to go through the mistakes. You have to work through everything. And if you can deal with all that, then God sees you fit to put you in important places in his kingdom. But if you buck at everything, then God is not going to be able to use you because he needs you to be obedient at every turn. Now, the most common way that God reveals his will is through his written word. God will also reveal his destiny to us through prophetic promises, dreams, visions, and spiritual experiences. All right, so don't put him in a box. God will also reveal his destiny to you through prophetic promises, dreams, visions, and spiritual experiences. Many people have these promises but have difficulty understanding the timing and details of the prophetic words. Now, you know, I myself, I would get a prophetic word and think, that sounds nice. But I didn't understand it. In fact, I didn't know it when it first started. I had to take it to God and have him explain it to me. So I would just have the word. It was just there and sounded good, but I did not understand anything about the word. But I found out that the Holy Spirit said, you have to, well, I kept giving that scripture, ask and you shall receive. And so when I would get a prophetic word, I would sit down with it. God, I don't understand. If I didn't understand it, I don't understand it. Please explain this to me. And you're probably like me. I said, God, here I am 50 years old. I wasted 50 years of my life. I could have been doing this work for you. He said, no. You were born when I wanted you to be born. And this is a time in your life that I want to start using you. And he immediately anointed me. But it's just, I'm just telling Brother Adam that this, whenever you get born again and you cry for 3 days and 3 nights, you are a special vessel that God is going to use in a special, mighty way. Now, God, that happened to me when I think I was 11 or 12. But God never used me till I was 50. Do you understand this? But from the time that he did that to me, gave me that, you know, great anointing to be saved, he kept me from the time I was 11, 12, whatever it was at that young age, until I was 50. Whenever he wanted to use me, he didn't let me get into any deep sins. He kept me. All right? Because he had a very special assignment on my life. Now, whenever Adam was wonderfully saved and cried for 3 days and 3 nights, he went into some deep valleys from the time that he got wonderfully saved until now. And the reason why he went into those deep valleys is because what God is going to use him to do, he had to experience. Are you listening to this? This is what God has explained to me. And so don't get upset over the dumb things, what you think are dumb things. God knew what you were going to do from the time he got you, until he placed his anointing upon you. And he always says your testimonies are important, right? And so Adam, whenever he's ministering to people now, when he gets up in front of a huge audience and these people are sitting out there with all this sin nature they don't know what to do with, Adam now has the anointing to explain to them that what God did to him, and then God can do the very same thing to them and they'll receive Christ. All right? None of your days are ever wasted. I'm just hearing that. None of your days are ever wasted. Everything you go through has a plan and a purpose. And even when, you know, all right, I'm just going to say this to Alan. Alan, he's sort of thick-headed, and he's sort of rebellious. And so what God has told me, he's going to send him to a rebellious people. And because Alan worked through all that, you know, even when he wanted to give up, he didn't. And we kept him covered in prayer because God did say one time he wasn't going to be able to come back. But we kept him covered in prayer because he had a hunger in his heart to come back. God brought him back, and now God's going to use him to go to a rebellious people. And some are going to hear and some won't. But you'll have an anointing on you that will cause them to want to listen to you and to come back. See, so each thing we've done in our lifetime, there is a purpose. And if we would just understand that, we wouldn't go through all the mess that we go through of vacillating between, yes, I'm saved, and no, I'm not saved. Yes, God is real, no, God is not real. Yes, God loves me, no, God doesn't love me. We wouldn't go through all that mess if somebody would just explain all that to us from day one. But I'm sorry it doesn't happen from day one, because you have to go through certain trials and tests to prove your stability in God. Okay? Now, if you have words spoken over your life that you have not seen come to pass, then pray and ask God to show you which promises you should focus on and which ones are no longer valid based on circumstances. You can have a word spoken over you that will never come to pass because either you become disobedient and you don't do what God tells you to do, or the person that you're supposed to be dealing with just flat has denied Christ and doesn't want anything to do with you or Christ. So then that is never valid. Don't wear yourself out on a prophetic word that is already dead. All right? A decree from heaven. Doug Addison said while praying, this is what he said, while praying, I experienced an extraordinary open heaven in my house. Suddenly, it was as if I had a direct connection with God, and I knew his heart and what and how to pray. It went on for about 30 minutes, and then the intensity lifted. During the experience, I was reminded of many promises that God has made to me and felt a new strength and authority to speak and command these promises into existence. A few hours later, I had an unexpected visitation. Suddenly, a piece of paper literally appeared in midair and dropped to the floor and disappeared. It happened so fast that I did not have time to take it all in. He said it was very real and was a parchment with what appeared to have gold or bronze trim. I was not able to make out any writing on it as it went as fast as it came. Then he said God spoke to me that the paper was a decree from heaven regarding the prayers that I had been praying. He told me that my prayers were heard and he issued orders to carry them out. So even though we think God is not answering our prayers, he really is. He's told me many times, I'm working behind the scenes to bring to pass the promises that I have promised you, or to get your answers to you for your prayers. See, we don't know what's going on in the heavenly realm. This is why I sort of get a little excited about John Rivera's, because he's been in hell and he knows how hell operates. And we haven't, so we have to sort of muddle through and you know, through the different spirits to get them free, where John Ramirez can just, he knows exactly what's going on, so he can just say, be free, and they're free. But that's John Ramirez's. And now you wouldn't want to live his life, I guarantee you. You would not. But because of the life he did live, he has a powerful anointing where he can destroy the kingdom of darkness. See, he paid a dear price for that special anointing. But we can glean from what he lived and what he learned. We don't have to go there and do all that and be tormented like he is still today, but we can glean from it and we can see more of what the kingdom of darkness is all about. Let's look at Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, this is what God decreed to him, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. That's what God decreed to him. And this is what the psalmist is saying back to God. This is what you spoke to me. So this is what I am. Right? Decrees from heaven are now falling upon God's people to take hold of their inheritance. Now that, remember, we've been learning about decrees. Decreeing and declaring. This is a season when God wants us to start decreeing what God has spoken to us through his word, you know, prophetic or otherwise. This is a season to do that. So if you're not decreeing and declaring things, then you're losing out in this season. I'm decreeing and declaring a lot of things that God has spoken over the situations I have in my life. Because I want to, the psalmist said, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. And this is what he said to me. You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. God, you told me that my children were going to serve the Lord. I decree and I declare right now that they're free from every addiction, you know, or whatever it is. You decree and you declare it. They will serve me. I will see them in the house of God once again. I will see them preaching the word. I will see them singing and dancing before you, holding a Bible in their one hand and praising with the other. All right? Start decreeing and declaring for this is a season. Don't let this season pass you by. All right? There has been a balancing of the books in heaven, and those who have been robbed by the enemy are now being repaid. There has been a balancing of the books in heaven, and those who have been robbed by the enemy are now being repaid. Those who have robbed and oppressed people will get their repayment as well. God says, you don't have to vindicate yourself. I am going to vindicate you. So don't be concerned about what people are doing to you. God knows what they've done, and God's taking care of it. Where there has been injustice, God is bringing justice. The enemy does not want us to see this, so our circumstances will look radically opposite of what God has promised us. We must press into God right now and claim all that God has for us. You really do. You have to press in and start, you know, in your prayer closet and start claiming everything that God has for you. I shall live and not die. My children are serving the Lord. I have more than enough money to, you know, because God said he wants our coffers to overflow. So I have enough money for myself, and I have an overflow to give into others' lives. You start decreeing and declaring what God has spoken to you. All right, press in and reclaim losses. The enemy has been attacking and robbing Christians of their destinies. This has been in the areas of finances, health, marriages, relationships, ministries, businesses, and emotions. It is time to say no more. And mean it when you say it. No more, devil. God said 2020 is a year of jubilee. So we are in the months of a spiritual release from heaven. Now, when God told me 2020 was a year of jubilee, I said, well, the year 2018 was a year, 2019 was a year, and 2007 was a year. And God said, the year of jubilee happens whenever a person can believe it to happen. He said all these other years were the year of Jubilee. The people that really believed it was received. The people that just dismissed it because they were sitting on their laurels and doing nothing, expecting God to drop it in their lap, and they didn't go into prayer and decree and declare, they didn't receive. But now this is a year of Jubilee. And I know that I know that I know, as sure as I'm sitting here, that if you will decree and declare that you are in Jubilee, that you are going to receive all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right? Aren't you tired of being poor and broke? Aren't you tired of the enemy stealing everything from you? Everything that God has spoken into your life, he's stealing it, making you, putting you in a state of lethargic, making you lethargic, and you won't get up off your fanny and do anything. Come on, you tell the devil, you know, God has spoken into my life, just like he told Chris to write this book. It was just a couple months ago, and he got down and he wrote it, and there it is. You ought to read it. It's a good book. I got mine free, but you have to pay for yours, all right? All right, I said, it's time to say no more. No more. Let me see. You now say that. Say no more.
No more.
No more what? All right. Bowling. No more. All right. What? All right. See, you have to know what you're saying no more about. No more messing in my marriage. No more messing in my ministry. No more stealing the things that God has told me that I should be doing for him. All right? There has been a shakeup in the natural realm that is symbolic of the supernatural. God is issuing bailout orders from heaven. It is a time to press in and reclaim our losses. We are in a strategic time that is similar to that of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David had a prophetic promise to be king and was anointed by Samuel when he was a young man. But his timing had not yet come. And look at all the mess David had to go through before he was finally anointed king. But he was anointed king when he was a teenager, a young guy out in the field tending the sheep. And he worked through all those years of all the mess, his brothers making fun of him, and who do you think you are, and then having King Saul, you know, being jealous of him and trying to kill him and all this other stuff until he finally became king. So what are you fussing about? God gave us his promise years ago, but we had to work through all the junk. And now this is a year that God wants to give us what he's promised us. Some of you have only been in the born again experience, maybe 3-4 years. I've been in it ever since I've been 50, and some things still haven't come to pass, but in God's timing they will. All right. King Saul had been trying to kill David, and then the enemy came and stole their possessions, families, and burnt their city to the ground. And this was the king. He was king. And then when God told him he was anointed, they poured that whole flask of oil on him, anointed him king. David was greatly distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. They'd recovered everything and things changed at that point, and David went from running to a new place of ruling and authority. That you'll find it all in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it tells you in there that David was greatly distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. I've had plenty of opportunity to do that for the last 2 weeks, encourage myself in the Lord. Have you? Yeah. So we're just like David. But then what does this say? They recovered everything and things changed at that point. And David went from running. He quit running. He ran to a new place of ruling and authority. So guys, you've been in that place of discouragement, but now you have heart and get out of that mess and run into a place where you're ruling and you're reigning. Just because God declared that David would be king, it did not happen automatically. David had to get up and go fight for it against all odds. He could have just sat back in his chair and smoked a cigar if he smoked a cigar and had his little women running around him saying, I'm king. You know, he would never became king. He had to go out there and go through the tests and the trials and the tribulations before he proved himself loyal to God and that he could carry the crown of a king. Many people today do not understand this and are sitting back waiting for God to do it for them. It is time to encourage ourselves in the Lord and not pull back. You're out there saying, come out, come out, come out to the devils and get him out of your own life. Make him let go of your stuff. Amen. You're saying, get out. And he's saying, I got you too. Because I'm still fooling with your stuff. Because you're still allowing me to fool with your stuff. Amen. We all need encouragement from time to time. And if you say you don't, well, then you need to be re-dipped because you just lied. I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong your anointing is. There is going to come a time, more than one time in your life, when you're going to need to be encouraged in the Lord. You really are. Because the devil doesn't care how he fights, and he fights dirty. All of us at some time or other face a crisis when everything seems to fall apart. There are times of discouragement when things go wrong, even when we are trying to do right. Right? It is time to no longer believe the lies of the enemy, but to grab hold of our only reality, which is God's word and will for our lives. That's the only real thing in life, is God's word and his will for your life. Everything else is a mess. You need to know what his will is for your life and then work. I was telling my daughter Teresa the other day, I said, I really admire Barbara because she took her children to prophets every time they come in town and listened to every word that was prophesied over them. And then she made sure that she set them up to fulfill their promises. She made things come to pass, make sure things came to pass so they could walk in those promises and become what God wanted them to be. And they've all become what God spoke over their life. I didn't do that. Did you do that? Oh, that's good. One day they're going to serve God. One day they're going to sing. One day they're going. But when Barbara heard that, she made sure she set them up to fulfill the promises of God. I learned a lesson there. Didn't you just learn a lesson here? Come on. Look at these kids. They're so messed up. Well, you didn't do what needed to be done to set them up to be what God wanted them to be. All right? Don't blame the kids. You're the adult here. Even a little Isaiah thinks he is every now and then. You know, they don't give you orders. You give them orders from God, right? This is what God said to do with you, and this is what I'm going to do. This is the way you have to do. I just really get upset when I hear parents say, well, look how bad they are. They didn't turn out right. Well, what were you doing? Why did they not turn out right? Bible says, train your children up the ways of the Lord, yeah, and they'll do that. But now, we have to go here too. I raised my kids up in the way of the Lord, but when they were 18, they said, we're out of here. They knew right from wrong, but they were out of there. And then they went out on their own. Now, that's not my responsibility anymore. They were raised up in the ways of the Lord, and they knew right from wrong. They were taken into church. They were taught. But they decided that they were going to go a different direction. So that's their decision. And I couldn't stop that. All right. It's time to pursue. This is truly an exciting time to be alive. I want you to try praying the following and see if there isn't a turnaround in your life. This is really an exciting time to be alive. It is. Even though the circumstances tell you differently, it really and truly is. You know, deep down inside, I'm excited, but every now and then I have to get a shovel and dig that up to the front, you know, so I can get excited that this is a really a truly good time to be alive. Because every day the devil gets in there and stomps, you know, right down to your feet just about. And, you know, you really have to encourage yourself in the Lord, right? Come on, I'm not with you 24/7. In fact, if I was, I wouldn't encourage you any. I'd smack you. No, and you know, you're not with me 24/7 either. And you, I have to encourage myself in the Lord because you're the one that's making me upset. All right? Some days your wife upsets you, Adam. You have to encourage yourself more because she's not going to encourage you. She just pushed you down. You see what I'm saying here? Because sometimes, Aaron, when you're out in your route, you have to encourage yourself more because some of those routes are pretty mean, right? When you come to my house, you have to fight the dog off your leg. But, you know, I keep saying, he won't bite you. They say, oh, yeah, he will. And he does. But, you know, if I don't get him in time. But so, you know, that driver has to encourage himself in the Lord as they're trying to deliver your package to your doorstep, right? So it's truly an exciting time to be alive when you get back in your truck to thank God he didn't take my leg off. See? That's exciting to look down and both have both your feet. Now, I'm just making light of a very serious thing, but it really is a time that we really need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. It is a good time. And this is just testing us. It really is to see how strong we are. Because, boy, when that glory drops, you're going to wish that you would have passed all your tests, right? All right, now, I said try praying the following and see if there isn't a turnaround, you know, over your life. Say, God, reveal what promises are for now and what are for later, which is timing. Then say, God, show us what the enemy does not want us to see, which is asking him to give you discernment. Then next thing is, God, allow us to be seen as you see us, not as the enemy wants us to be seen. And that's favor. Ask for favor. All right. Next thing, repay and release what was stolen and held back by the enemy. And that's justice. God, make that stupid stew foot return back to me everything he's stolen. Especially our peace, right? How many times he's stolen our peace? Because we allowed him to. And the last thing is, show us how to practically respond, which is wisdom. God, how many of you pray for wisdom every day? Don't you have to do that? Because you don't know what you're going to run into every day. And I don't know about you, but I'm not the smartest person in the world. And I need God's wisdom at work in my life to know how to handle the difficult situations that come up every day. And a difficult situation comes up in our lives every day, doesn't it? Some bigger than others, but they do come up. So the enemy has been trying to steal our destinies. Now we know, we've learned tonight that we don't have to let him steal our destinies any longer, because God has decreed a thing over us, and those things that he's decreed over us, we have to start decreeing and declaring them and say it really loud because the devil's deaf. And let him hear that you know what God has spoken over your life. And then receive all the riches of God's blessing. That's just what I heard God say. Quit allowing the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. Let your love be alive. I don't care what's going on around the back. Somebody came into my room yesterday and took my cell phone. So when I went to get ready to come here this morning, I didn't have a cell phone. What if my car would have broke down? So I had to call them and say, all right, bring my cell phone back. Well, I know I should have asked for it, but I lost mine and I needed one. And I know you wouldn't give me yours, so I just took it. Well, you know, praise God anyhow. And, you know, really, I was sitting there and I really could not get mad at that person. God kept me coming here and going back home. That's the most important thing, you know. So let's just quit nitpicking at the little things. What's a cell phone anyhow? A lot of money. You know, I see, that's another thing that bothers me. I see people can't survive without a phone attached to their ear. I have never seen the likes. You walk in the stores, everybody's talking. You think you're talking, they're talking to you, and they're talking to somebody on the phone, telling their whole business to the world. They act like they forget they're in a store. What are you going to do if God takes all the cell phones? Oh, Lord, that would be worse than the virus. It really would. See how dumb the enemy was? He should have taken our cell phones. But you need to decree and declare, you're not taking my cell phone, devil. because God gave somebody the wisdom to make them, and so he evidently wants us to have them, right? Well, are you encouraged in the Lord tonight? Did you encourage yourself in the Lord? All right, now keep it. Don't let the enemy steal it. All right? We are headed into one of the greatest glory drops that's ever occurred in the history of the church. And the enemy's trying to get us discouraged so we won't be there to be in the glory drop. Quit allowing him to discourage you. I'm talking to myself too. We need to keep ourselves encouraged each and every day, sometimes all day long. But keep yourself encouraged. It doesn't matter what anybody's saying about you, thinking about you, or doing to you. You just encourage yourself, Lord, because they're not going to encourage you. Like my real father told me one time, he said, grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself up, because other people won't. They like it when you're down, and they'll kick you when you're down. I've always remembered that. I never relied on anybody to pull me up. I had to encourage myself and Lord and pull my own self up. Amen. So how about you? Didn't you have to pull yourself up many times? Didn't you, Barbara? And keep on going, right? No matter what the circumstances were, and just keep on going. Well, Father, we thank you for your word warning us that the enemy's trying to steal our destinies. We thank you, Father God, for telling us that we have to encourage ourselves in you. We thank you for reminding us that we have to start decreeing and declaring the words that you spoke over our lives. And we thank you, Father God, that because of what you've been teaching us, we are going to fulfill our destinies and one day sit in heavenly places with you, Father. And Father, right now, I'm just asking you to pour out the anointing oil upon your people right now, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And Father God, as you pour that oil upon them, lift them up into the heavenly places where they can be seated with you and get their instructions from you. And Father God, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So what are we doing today? We are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the anointing to do that is going to become more powerful in the days ahead than it was in the New Testament when John the Baptist was going for. God wants to anoint you from on high right now tonight. I'm hearing him say, I want to pass through you. And as I pass through you, I want to deposit my anointing deep inside of you. The anointing that destroys every yoke. The anointing that the enemy can never take away from you. God said this is a deep residue of himself, that as he passes through you tonight, that he's depositing deep within inside of you. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it, Father. I'm hearing God say right now, if you were a prisoner to the enemy, then you're a prisoner of your own making. That you are not decreeing and declaring the words that God has spoken over your life, and therefore you're leaving the door open for the enemy to come in and make you a prisoner. So God said, right now, he is closing that door tight that the enemy was coming in and out of. He himself is closing that door. Don't you dare open that door up ever again. Children, remember that I am your mainstay. I am the author and finisher of your lives. I breathe life into your nostrils. In your book in heaven is written that everything that you were ever going to do and accomplish. Nothing that has transpired in your life has been a surprise to me, your Father. Even though you regret things, quit. Quit regretting and just move forward. For as you move forward, you will surely see why you had to go through the things that you went through. I don't want you to wait till you see that to rejoice in me. I want you to rejoice in me right now, that you are radically different than others. And I knew what you were going to do for me in the end times. Therefore, I had to prepare your character to carry the works through to the very end. And sometimes it's been a bitter end, but it did end. And now you're going into a new beginning, but you will use your testimony in this new beginning to win many souls into my kingdom. My kingdom purposes are yes, and they are amen. I do not change my kingdom purposes. The purpose here is to bring my children home. The purpose here is for you to work for the second coming of my Son, Jesus Christ. Soul after soul after soul must be harvested before my Son can return. As you look around about you, you will see how I am lining everything up with my word to bring the finalization of this kingdom age. And this age will end, my children. It will end just as my word has spoken it. I created each one of you for a special purpose. Each one of you are totally different in character. Be who I have created you to be. Be happy with yourself and rejoice in me. I have pulled you out of that miry clay for a purpose, and this is a season where that purpose is being fulfilled. Rejoice in me. And I know I've said this before, and I know you have not done it, but tonight I am saying rejoice in me with purpose in your heart, to constantly understand every second of your life what I am doing with you. I will speak volumes to you about what I am doing with you. You must listen intently and do not take your eyes off of your destiny. Your destiny is in me, and it is anchored securely in me. Keep your eyes upon me. And I know sometimes confusion sets in, I know that. But I am here to still the waters. I am in your storms with you, and I will bring you through. So please, sons and daughters, be encouraged this night, knowing that you are here for a purpose. And I want to fulfill that purpose in a few short days ahead. I'm also hearing God say, much is going to transpire all across this land in the next months, but I don't want you to get entangled in that warfare. I want you to keep your eyes upon me and pray. Pray as you've never prayed before. And listen for my still small voice, because even though the confusion is going on, I will be speaking volumes to you of what I'm going to do within your life. Love unconditionally. Let my mercy and my grace be poured out from deep within your spirit, man, upon all that you come in contact with. And know that I am your Father, and that I am with you, and I never leave you nor forsake you. I'm hearing God say, justice is being carried out in the courts of heaven, and you will see that justice come down to earth, and you will see what the enemy has been trying to do. You will see it all dispelled. It will be broken up. And God said he's going to bring clarity to this whole situation.